You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mythic Thunderlute is brought to you with support from 11th Hour Theater Company, Philadelphia's only all-musical theater company. Visit 11thHourTheaterCompany.org for more information. If you'd like to support Mythic Thunderlute, join our Patreon by going to patreon.com/mythicthunderlute. With that, here's episode 3. Welcome to Mythic Thunderloop, a D&D podcast musical. I'm Steve Gutelunas.
I'm Jake Blauk.
I'm Lillian Castillo.
I'm Michael Daugherty.
And I'm Leah Cotto.
And we are Mythic Thunderloop.
Better believe it.
Use, it's the third episode, Use. How's everybody feeling?
How's Use doing?
Oh my gosh, you guys. I mean, I'm super excited to be doing this, but I am roasting to death.
Oh, so am I.
I was going to say, I would say I have chills, but I know people are literally melting in their closets right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's no chills.
I know that our Patreon people will get to actually see video of this, and if they can, they can see how red my little cheeks are.
You're glowing.
Yes, let's blame it on the pregnancy.
I mean, to be completely honest, for those who give us the big bucks on Patreon, I could just have a crotch camera and you would realize that I'm just in underwear right now.
Oh my God.
I just got an email. We just got sued by Patreon.
That's
weird.
Well, I think with that, friends, yeah, I think we should hand it over to our game maker, Michael Daugherty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, thank you. Today on the pod, we have special guest Jay Ladymore, who listeners may have seen on The Chi, Empire, and Chicago PD. She'll be playing Claudette on the new CW series 4400, premiering October 25th, and we couldn't be more stoked for her. Jay, welcome to the pod.
Hello, it's so exciting to be here.
Now, from what I've read, it sounds like a really incredible premise. What can you tell us about 4400?
So the show is about this group of marginalized people, and you guessed it, how many? 4400.
Aha.
And these folks get teleported to the future, into 2021. So everyone is from a time period of the past. My character, Claudette, is from the 50s. And so we're all trying to figure out what happened to us and why we got blipped to the future.
Wow. Well, that sounds poignant and amazing. Jay, thank you so much for being here. Friends, be sure to tune in to 4400 on the CW this fall. In the meantime, I'm going to explain how this works.
Here's the deal. Our four players will improvise their way through a fantasy-style role-playing game of my making. After we record, we add sound effects, underscoring full-fledged musical numbers, and special guest voices.
Hello.
And boom, there you have an episode. Sound good?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Great.
I think any one of us is going to be like, no, I that's not really
not
what
today.
I want.
I'm waiting for the week. If it ever happens, I've decided the contingency is we just call off the recording.
Let's play Parcheesi instead.
We do Parcheesi for that episode and then resume the following week.
Amazing.
It's a wholesome family game.
Great.
Then let's play Mythic Thunderloot!
Previously on Mythic Thunderloot.
After awakening the elven god Maris and unwittingly convincing him to destroy their society, Pugface, Edgar Jocasta, and Roscoe struggle to quell the fears of bystanders. When their new monk companion Herman ushers them into a nearby restaurant, he explains that Zodindra, head of the elven pantheon, may be able to intervene. After Herman shares that Zodindra's sanctuary lies in Redfear, capital of Karkatara, Edgar is forced to reveal that he has been banished from the elf nation since abdicating the throne centuries ago. The group disguises Edgar as King Cyrus of Edenia and uses his authority to send away the King's Guard, gain access to Karkatara, and request military escort to Redfear by the elven army. A slip of the tongue outs Edgar as the fallen prince, but the kind General Alvar agrees to help them anyway. The commander explains that the banning of rock music in Redfear has led to the point of near revolution, making the queen's permission to access the sanctuary difficult to obtain. The next morning, the group enters Redfear and invents folk rock, which unites the city, and the fivesome is escorted toward the Elven Keep.
All in a day's work.
Very good.
As you make your way toward the keep, guided by the local sheriff, the cheers keep on coming from rock rebels and Redfear Rangers alike.
Fucking famous, guys.
Deep Sovereigns love you.
So kind.
We told you so.
Before long, you reach the imposing front doors of the castle. You can hitch up your horses just beside the castle stair.
All right.
Thank you.
As you do, the sheriff knocks forcefully on the castle doors. Goosh, goosh, goosh. Within, you hear voices shout, "The rebels are at our door! Secure the barricade!"
No, wait. It's Sheriff Gutendale of the Redfear Rangers. Sorry, the bloody revolution's over. Who is it? It's Sheriff Gutendale of the Bloomin' City Watch. Gods above.
You hear the sound of objects being moved around inside. Sorry, it seems they need to clear away the barricade.
So, where are you lot from?
Talyshire.
Talyshire.
South Talyshire.
Yes, we're all from South Talyshire.
My wife and I, we took our honeymoon in North Talyshire.
Oh, did you? Yeah, did you have a good time?
It was lovely. Yeah, the people are very nice, I thought.
No, that's what they all say.
Suddenly, a small panel in the door flies open and a mustachioed elf's face pops through. No one gets in to see the queen, not until peace has been restored to the land.
Oh. But didn't we restore peace? We just did.
What? And he takes in the sort of celebration in the streets behind you.
Well, that's right, and these five heroes of Edenia are the reason why.
The guardian elf calls within, "Peace has been restored to the land! Peace has been restored to the land! Peace has been restored to the land! Peace has been restored to the land!" As the doors slowly open, the elven guards within launch into song.
Peace has been restored to the
could believe it, it's hard to conceive it. I never thought that peace could be restored
to the land.
But now that I've seen this, I say and I mean this, I thank you all for seeing peace restored
to the land.
When we saw the rock rebels, we said here comes treble. With all the confusion, we reached this conclusion. Our lives were at stake, so we bought up the gate and we buried our heads in the sand. But now our dawn rises, and to our surprises, we find that peace has finally been restored
to the land.
No peace has been restored to the land. Edenian heroes, we give you a hand. When things have not gone quite as we planned, you were there to take a stand. And rather than add fuel to the fire or make the situation more dire, you chose to make music which did inspire a change. And peace is restored to the land.
The guards here always burst out into song when they're grateful.
Yes, Jocasta. Yes, they do.
This is bloody brilliant. Can I have a try?
Why not?
Love it. Well, when I first met you, you know I could bet you could find a way to see peace was restored
to the land.
With rock music forbidden and your talents aided, you made folk rock and dead peace was restored
to the land.
No, peace has been restored to the land, and by a new Edenian band. If they carried on, we surely get can, but now we're here to stay. So now we'll get you prepped for the queen. We'll doll you up and make you look clean. And if she happens to say something mean, fuck her. For peace is restored to the land.
You know, Puckface, I never actually been bathed by another person before.
Or really bathed myself, for that matter.
You know, Bud, I feel weird for sure, but also, it's kinda nice to be pampered.
And so, good heroes, once you have dried, I will escort you, beaming with pride. For now we have no reason to hide.
For peace has been restored to the land. And here's so glad that peace has been restored to the land.
Yeah! And they hold for applause.
Yes! Oh, that was so good! Loved it. That's good.
Yeah, this was good.
As soon as your awkward applause break ends, the guards hop back to work and close the door behind you. As the mustachioed elf approaches, so the heroes wish to see the queen?
Yes, please.
Yep, please.
Very good. Do follow me. And he proceeds to step ball change his way down a hallway to your left.
Wow.
When in Red Fear, do as the Red Fairies, I guess. Edgar shuffles off following him, doing the same kickball change, though.
Oh, great. Lovely.
And Jocasta starts trying to kickball change after him. Kick, step, back. Kick, step, back, step. Kick, step, back, step.
I do not attempt this.
As you follow the guard, a Sheriff Gutendell calls after you. Good luck, you lot, and if there's anything you ever need from me, I beg of you, do not hesitate to reach out.
We shan't. Bless you, my good man.
Thanks, Sheriff.
I'm serious. I really don't have much going on, and I love an excuse to get out and see people I love.
You continue to follow this guard. After a few sudden turns in the labyrinthian halls, you arrive at a set of ornately decorated doors, which Edgar recognizes as the entrance to the throne room. Wait here! And the mustachioed guard walks up a small staircase and enters the throne room, closing the door behind him.
I'm going to be sick. Oh, my God.
Herman the Monk asks Edgar, my friend, what is your chief concern right now?
You don't really become into the presence of a queen every day. So.
What is happening?
Your
right
sister,
now?
Your little sister, yes?
I think he's having a panic attack.
No, I wouldn't say I'm having a...
You need to breathe, bud. Go ahead and breathe.
Put your arms up over your head. Yeah, put your arms up over your head. Deep breaths.
And keep breathing.
There you go.
I'm a special boy, and I can do it.
Suddenly, the guard re-enters the holding chamber and says, come, the queen will see you now, and holds one of the doors open for you.
Do you want one of us to lead the way?
Edgar goes first. You want me to walk in?
Yes, Roscoe, go.
Okay, Roscoe leads you into the throne room. As soon as you enter, you see Queen Kistani standing about 30 feet before you, a lavishly dressed matriarch and an elf nearly as old as Edgar. Guards with spears line the walls, as well as the massive staircase that leads up to the queen. Behind Kistani sits her over-embellished throne and two femme elves, one a bit younger, the other much younger, both bearing a striking familial resemblance to Kistani.
You stand in the presence of Her Majesty, Kistani the Enduring of the House Quendalari. First of her name, Queen of the Elves, Protector of the Realm Karkatana, and Vanquisher of Rock.
My dear brother, I understand I have you to thank for ending the uprising in our streets, which is good because I fail to understand how it is you're still alive.
A bit of trickery, my dear, bit of trickery.
Oh, well, do tell, dear brother.
You have my friends and I to thank for folk rock.
So I hear.
I love family drama.
Well, do explain first, dear brother, why it was you weren't killed instantly upon entering our border.
Perhaps because Her Majesty's army does not serve Her Majesty the way she wishes.
Insubordination?
Maybe it wasn't insubordination that could possibly get a number of people killed. It could also be because he did not look like himself when we came in here.
Right.
Ah,
yes.
Deception. I should have known. You always did have the tendencies of a cowardly wolf.
And your army was fool enough to believe it.
I see.
She snaps her fingers, and eight guards standing in front of you train their spears at Edgar's neck.
Whoa.
Now then, can you give me one good reason why I shouldn't kill you now?
Yeah, hey, hi.
We just saved your kingdom.
Yeah.
Folk rock.
The song was clever.
She snaps her fingers, and the eight guards return to their position.
Okay. You're welcome.
Tell me what it is you all want.
I'm gonna go ahead and speak because I feel like every time Edgar opens his mouth, he almost kills somebody. So.
Yeah, you guys couldn't agree more.
The situation is we are in need of going to Zodendra's temple and communing with the god.
Why on earth would you Edenians need to worship before the elven pantheon?
Well, are there better gods than the elven pantheon?
I don't think so.
No. Nope. I see your point there.
Mm-hmm.
If I grant you access to the sanctuary and spare my brother's life, you all must swear never to return here ever again.
With pleasure.
Fine by me.
All of us?
Well, if it were thought that the fallen prince and his cohorts had somehow been pardoned, there would be a military coup. We can't have that, third time this century.
But like, you know, what if Pugface or Roscoe
had a vacation here?
You bear an association. The only way I will grant you access is if you swear to never return.
You know what? That's fine.
Let's just go.
It's fine.
You know, I don't like going places where I'm not wanted anyway, you know? So.
Should any of you ever return to Kar Katara, I promise you a swift but brutal death.
All right.
The food's better in Edenya anyway.
You gotta stop, Edgar.
Have fun boiling carrots. My hand, Giselda, will show you the way. Edganon, I do believe you've met.
A guard in the far left corner of the room unlocks a door, and through it steps Giselda Glass, the queen's hand and Edgar's formerly betrothed. Hello, Edganon. Or should I say, Edgar.
Oh, I gotta tell you, that is cold. Geez. Your sister is cold.
I couldn't agree more.
Giselda kind of beckons for you all to follow and exits back out the door as Castani retires to her throne.
As much as I love to watch Giselda walk away, I'm going to follow her, so would you all join me?
Fine.
Okay.
Can someone in this castle bring me a snack?
Oh, you're hungry, huh, bud?
There should be someone feeding you grapes and fanning you right now. I'm not quite sure why.
That sounds delightful.
All of the guards and Castani stare coldly at you, waiting for you to leave the throne room.
All right, so no snacks.
I don't think so, bud.
We can take a hint.
As soon as you walk through the door, Giselda closes it behind you. I'm impressed. When I'd heard that you'd entered the Kar Shalton, I assumed there'd be a bloodbath in the throne room, but here you stand.
Castani, am I right?
Well, come along. We can talk while we walk.
Oh, I would like that very much, Giselda, and Edgar offers his arm.
Oh, God.
She takes Edgar's arm and proceeds to guide you down the hallways. Edganon, I have to tell you and all of your sweet little friends here, being left at the altar by you was the best thing that could have happened to me.
Oh, shit.
Not only is your sister cold, but your ex is cold, too.
We're elves. We're cold.
You have to understand, I was 19 years old and about to give my life away to a boy I hardly knew. Yeah. But since then, girls, I have been liberated.
Yeah?
Sexually.
Oh, my. Do tell.
Well, let me put it like this. Edgar, you left 1,400 years ago?
Yes.
That's how many elves I slept with within the first 2 centuries you were gone.
Oh, my God.
You know, they are cold people, but they also overshare.
Yes.
I suppose we do. Well, now that you mention it, let's see. There was Gowan Greystone, Edgar's little soldier friend. You remember him?
Oh, your friend.
Coldrick the Wise, our learned elder. He taught me some things.
Poetry?
Oh, my God.
The kind Lady Blackwell.
Oh.
Well, not the one you know, her daughter.
Oh, my.
Yes. I taught her some things.
I mean, good for you. You sow your oats.
Oop, here we are. And you find yourselves at a large stone door with words carved in Old Elvish, which Edgar can translate as the Sanctuary of the Gods. Giselda says, Mital Karsegin Kistani Wirainter. And with that, the stones of the door shift and part in the middle, and with a golden shimmer, magically slide open. Come on in. Try not to leave your jaws on the floor.
I love her. She is so fucking cool.
Right? She's pretty cool, right?
She's awesome.
She's so self-assured.
God, I keep forgetting. forget you're here, but...
You enter a large brass dome with a great glass ceiling that the sun shines through. It's a little after midday. A thin stone lectern juts out of the floor in the center of the room, and 12 large circles are carved into the floor, which line the circular wall. So tell me, have any of y'all ever summoned a god before?
Yep.
Unfortunately, yes, we all have.
Oh. Not the answer I was expecting. Well, approach the lectern and make your sacrifice. You know how to do it. And she proceeds to leave the sanctuary, causing the enormous stone doors to slide shut once more.
All right, well, what are we sacrificing?
Well, last time we did a song, so...
But this time, the gods have put Herman here for a very specific reason.
Oh, my God.
Please, wait,
no,
wait.
Come on. No.
We're not doing that.
That's dark.
I'm sorry, Herman, that I tried to sacrifice you to the gods of Dindra.
I completely understand.
I'll do it again.
All right. So the sacrifice we have is music. And you have said multiple times that we are a band.
Yeah.
And I feel that that is what we have to give to the world.
Yes, but wait.
A cappella. A cappella. We can just sing a cappella.
Ooh, four-part harmony.
Maybe, perhaps I can beatbox for you.
Herman.
Koo-chaka-kaka, koo-chaka-kaka.
Oh, no, do not do that.
Herman, if you do that again, Puntface, give me the dagger.
Herman, sorry. We will let him sacrifice you.
Vow of silence from here on out.
Thank you.
All right. So, maybe a cappella, four-part harmony, something?
That sounds great. I would love to do that.
Somebody pick a note.
Choo.
Choo.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm lightheaded. Everyone give me a performance check on this acapella.
Hold on.
Natural 20!
Oh, my God.
Yes. I got a 22 for Roscoe.
Great.
Oh, God. I have a 25.
Oh, my God.
Oh, a non-nat 20. I think
yes!
Okay, you all sing brilliantly. You are so in tune with each other that you create the perfect street corner a cappella song.
So, Dindra, if you think you got it in ya, would you please shine a light on me? Can't you see that we're in trouble? And soon it will be double if you don't hear my solemn plea. Whoa, whoa, so Dindra, I just need a little favor. Humanity's in trouble, and I really want to save her. So whoa, so Dindra, won't you come on down? Cause you're the only hope around. Whoa, 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 so Dindra, if you think you got it in ya, could you please come down and take our cares away? Oh God of all, I know we're mortal and small, but you know we're in a bad, bad way. Hey, so Dindra, I wouldn't ask if I thought we were equal to the task. I know that what we're asking might sound odd, but this is really a job fit more for the god. So Dindra, if you think you got it in ya, would you please come down, shine your light on me? Oh God of all, I know we're mortally small, but can't you see we're in a bad, bad way? So won't you come down today?
A column of golden light shoots out of the circle directly in front of the lectern. There's a blinding flash, and then before you, you see the benevolent, shimmering face of the golden god known as Zodindra. You can feel his power radiating.
I am Zodindra, god of all. Ah, yes. The disciples of Mares have made a pilgrimage.
Yes, hello, Zodindra.
Hello. Do not be alarmed, my friends, for I know all.
Oh.
Oh, then you know that we really, really, really did not mean to set Maris on the particular path he has chosen.
Correct.
Indeed. But I'm afraid, my friends, that when Maris brought the decay of Stormwood to our attention, we did deem it a harbinger of worse things to come.
Okay, but, like, is it necessary to, like, you know, lay waste to the people of our country?
Yeah, that doesn't seem necessary.
Our decision was to press forward with the extinction of your people, but If you'd like to make your case, you may do so before my fellow guards.
We would like to do that.
Yeah, we would definitely like to do that.
Very well.
When can we schedule that?
Now. I shall summon the 12, or as you Edenians call us, the gods of old.
I would never call you that.
Just saying.
And with a flick of his wrists, the other 11 circles become pillars of light, each one a different color. From them emerge 11 different gods, all with glimmering, luminescent skin, the same color as the shaft of light from which they came. Zodindra introduces each one as they appear.
Up first, the newly reinstated Red God Maris, Lord of Agriculture and War.
Hey, Edenians! Good news about Stormwood, huh?
No.
Debatable.
It's not good.
Depends on who you ask.
Whoa! A thank you would be nice.
Next, the green god Gaiades, Lord of Land and Nature. Greetings! I believe you've met my daughter, Daphne.
Yes.
Daphne's in a bad way.
Yes. What a pill. The silver god, Athamin, Lord of Wisdom and Insight. Oh, look at them. How could you want to destroy them?
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah,
he's
this
good.
One definitely gets it.
The white god, Fortir, Lord of Fortune and Chance.
Hey, any chance you guys are terrified right now?
It's good.
100%.
I mean, I don't feel great.
It's good chance.
The gray god, Morthal, Lord of Death and the Afterlife.
We'll get to know each other eventually.
Oh, anytime anybody whispers, it's not good.
The blue god, Cronus, Lord of Time. I travel through the fourth dimension and marvel at the folly of mortals.
And it beats working.
The orange god, Freyno, Lord of Weather and the Elements.
Every time it rains, a cloud spit, it loses its virginity. Or is it the other way around?
We all get a really weird vibe from him.
Man, are we gonna go through all of them?
My God.
The aqua god, Postune, Lord of the Sea.
Ahoy, mateys!
The pink god, Zamira, Lord of Love, Kindness, and Truth.
I'm glad you came all this way.
Oh, thank you.
It's nice. We're happy to be here.
Really?
The purple god, Papa Curio, Lord of Travel, Bounds, and Trade.
Oh, we know you!
Hey, my travelers! Wait, you guys were journeying here? That's crazy!
Oh, can you believe it? Here we are.
A friendly face.
And finally, the yellow god, Domino, Lord of Music, Dance, and Celebration.
Domino appears and sees Edgar and says, "Oh, shit. What's up, Eddie?"
Domino, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'll bet you are, man.
What is happening?
Well, hey, Edgar's friends, question for you. Did he tell you about that little necklace that he wear that corrected his voice?
He did mention something about that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear a little bit more about it, though.
Well, did he mention to you that it used evil draconic magic in order to work?
He did not mention that.
No, that's new information.
Wow,
that's new.
Wow, you son of...
Enough. It is time. Make your case before the 12.
Who wants to go first? Do we need to rock, paper, scissors?
I can beatbox again.
Don't you dare.
Jocasta, go.
Okay. Gods, the 12, we come before you penitent and asking for your blessings and your forgiveness and your help.
Mm. Yep.
We understand that our countrymen have made many mistakes. We understand that it might feel like just desserts to, like, eradicate them.
Oh, desserts.
I need you to control your...
I'm sorry.
I feel like if you give us a chance, we can go back to our country and through music bring our people back to the old ways and turn the messed up situation we got going on over there around. What do you think? How do you feel?
Zodindra looks to all of his fellow gods who seem to communicate telepathically with him. He then looks back at you and says, "Very well. If you can convince your people and your ruler to change your ways, end the digging of the Taliashire mines, and stop any further deforestation, then you will be spared." The gods burst into hubbub, some excited by this proposition, some angered.
trying.
Failure to do so will result in Edenic doom. We shall issue you 3 warnings before that. 3 plagues to signal that you head toward destruction. Mm-hmm. As the being who led the charge on this, Mares will choose first. All right, mortals. First, a dense fog shall cover the land and steal away your precious crops.
Okay.
Very well. Freyno, god of weather, you choose the second.
My pleasure, my lord. Let's see. Frogs shall rain from the heavens upon Edenia and disturb the natural order.
Frogs?
Not frogs.
Oh.
Progs. Grotesque frog-like creatures who sing progressive rock.
Oh.
Oh.
No.
Oh. 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 No.
Gaiades, it seems only fitting that you should choose the 3rd and final plague.
Mm-mm. With pain in her eyes, Gaiades says,
should you and your people fail to heed all other warnings, locusts shall swarm into the sky and block the sun for 3 days.
Very well. After the 3rd day of darkness, should you fail to move your countrymen, your destruction will be imminent. Are we clear?
Jocasta raises her hand.
Jocasta, looks like you have something.
I do. Now, do we have like a time limit as to when each of these is going to happen? Like,
fair enough. You shall have 3 days before the first plague.
3 days.
3 days after that before the second.
Let's negotiate. Real big place.
And 3 days after that before the 3rd.
Oh.
After the 3 days of darkness, you shall face Edenic doom.
Is this up for debate?
Herman, negotiate with the gods, Herman. Negotiate.
Okay, I'm going out on a limb here. My name is Herman. My friends call me Monkey. I want you to know that we're not funky.
No. Monkey grabs him and pulls him back, and you shut up right now.
I panicked. I totally blacked out. How did I do?
You fucked up so hard, Herman.
God.
I don't understand why you keep trying to sing.
Any other questions?
Yeah, where can a guy get a burger or something around here? Like, it's been all day.
Zodindra snaps his fingers, and a platter of food appears right before you.
And Roscoe just dives headfirst into it. Was like, look, I'll do whatever plan we want. There's been so much talking.
Very well. Thus ends this gathering of the 12.
And with another flick of his wrists, the god vanished in flashes of light. Domino lingers behind. I have to know, buddy. Are you truly sorry, Edgar?
I'm so sorry. All right, how many times do I have to say that?
If you are truly sorry, and swear never to use draconic magic ever again, I will consider letting you be my votary once more.
I swear on Herman's life that I will never...
Ooh. A smile creeps across Domino's face.
Do you still have it?
Do I still have it?
When Edgar pulls out the thunder lute, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like, you know...
A shaft of light.
Yeah, that just looks like lens flare that, like, flares. And
yeah, it's his little lute thing.
Bring it forth!
Edgar takes it in his hands, brings it forth, and lifts it up to Domino.
He heaves out his arm, and a beam of yellow light shoots from his hand and into the thunder lute. The instrument hums with the sounds of electricity once more. Go forth, my rocking votaries! And use this mythic thunder lute to guide you on your way.
I shall take the mythic thunder lute itself, crafted by the great luthier Leonidas Fendir, and play upon it, O Domino.
Then go forth, my children, and rock, make sweet, sweet music! Yeah! And Domino vanishes in a flash of yellow light.
I'll tell you, I'm glad I ate because I would have just passed out.
Pugface is crying right now.
Hey, y'all. Did Domino give us a name before he left? Are we the votaries now?
It's an option. The Disciples of Mares,
Oh, that was not good.
What did he call the thing that he bestowed with magic, Edgar?
Magic Thunderfoot? What did he call it?
Oh, the Mythic Thunderlute?
Mythic Thunderlute. I think I like it.
I could get into it.
I wonder if the Thunder Lute still does its thing.
Dust it off. Play something.
I don't know. Let me see.
Oh, that's starting to sound like rock music. Maybe we should get out of here before we upset anyone else.
Oh, good call. I'm a little out of practice anyway.
I agree with Monkey. Let's go.
And I bet the queen is just chomping at the bit to kill us.
We gotta get out.
As you head near the large stone door, it parts and opens once more in that golden shimmer, revealing Giselda.
Y'all done in there?
Yes. So?
Yeah, we're done.
God, I hope so.
Took you long enough. Come along, loves. Best get you out of here before Her Majesty changes her mind.
And she heads down the hallway in the opposite direction from which you came.
Where are we going, Giselda?
Well, I ain't taking you through the throne room again. I'm leading you to the door.
You follow Giselda through more winding halls, past guarded doors and chambers, until you find yourselves back in the busy lobby where you started. Nice to see you again, Edgar Nall.
Nice to see you, Giselda. Wonder a little bit about what might have been.
All right, we're wasting time. Let's go. We gotta go. We only have 3 days.
Goodbye, y'all.
Goodbye.
Giselda heads back down the hall.
I swear, y'all, that had me jumpier than a virgin at a prison rodeo.
When you leave the keep, you notice the folk rock celebration is still raging in the streets. As soon as you emerge, a peal of cheers rings out.
Fans of the Beat Sovereigns, we have communed with the gods, and they have bestowed upon us a new name.
On the count of three, except for Herman, we're all going to say it together. One, two, three.
Mythic Thunderloot!
The crowd erupts into cheers once more. One of the rangers that's been guarding your horse approaches.
Sheriff Gutendel instructed us to look after these steeds until your return. One of them is quite smelly.
Oh, that one's mine!
Shall we to Borstead?
Yes, please.
You mount your horses once more and take off down the streets of Red Fear. One mohawked individual shouts at you, "Fare thee well, folk rock, folk heroes!" And you ride up and out of the valley and come to a fork in your path, one leading back to Fort Carlot and the other heading back into the Elvewood Forest and toward the Edenian border.
We gotta go back to Edenian.
Your steeds gallop fiercely through the Elvewood Forest as you race against the setting sun. As dusk falls on the forest, you come upon a platoon of elven soldiers on horseback heading toward you, led by none other than General Alvar.
Oh, it's your friend.
Edgarnon, Roscoe,
hey.
Pugface,
hey.
Jocasta.
Hi.
Herman, tell me, my friends, how did it go in Redfear?
Swimmingly.
You restored peace to the land?
Yeah. Yeah.
Better believe it.
I should have known you have it in you. Please, I hope you come back in the future.
Well, we've been banished, but, And this is probably the last time we'll see each other, Orva.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, my friend, though I suppose not entirely surprised.
Indeed.
Therefore, I should warn you, just before the border that lies ahead, lies a company of elves led by Colonel Tarsk, who I believe Roscoe had the displeasure of meeting last night.
Yeah.
He's the one I was having it out with at the campfire.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
I strongly recommend you're pushing through to the Edenian border before you rest tonight. If you tread stealthily, you should be able to avoid them.
What about an escort, General?
Edgarnon, I must back to Fort Carlot, I'm afraid. The sun is against us.
All right, guys, let's go.
Goodbye, my dear boy.
Good luck, General.
Come, soldiers. Yeah!
And Alvar and his platoon race back toward the east.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's go.
Giddy up.
You ride forth, and before long, you notice campfires stretched out before you. Do you proceed stealthily?
I mean, as stealthily as we can.
Can everyone give me a stealth check, then, on your horseback?
19 for Roscoe.
Okay.
16 for me.
Okay.
23 for Pugface.
Okay.
It's a 15.
You all creep stealthily, on horseback no less, through the elven army's encampment. Herman even holds his breath. He doesn't beatbox once. You navigate around the light from the campfires, and as you pass, Roscoe sees the solemn and craggy face of Tarsk, the colonel who cold-shouldered him last night. He vents to his company,
"Once I have word from Her Majesty, I vow before the gods I shall end his life, if he be fool enough to show his aged face here ever again."
Before long, you find you've successfully made it to the other side of the army's encampment.
That's just lucky.
Fuck yeah.
Did he say aged?
The night grows darker as you near the Edenian border, and then off in the distance, you see light. The province of Kingsrung lies just ahead. Thank heavens I grew weary of constantly having bows and arrows trained on us all the time.
And I gotta tell you, I'm gonna need a nap after this one.
As you approach the lights, you realize it's actually torches held by the King's Guard of Borstead, at least 100 strong. The moment you realize, you hear one of the soldiers yell, "Halt, travelers!" And the guards draw their bows in unison. Oh, spoke too soon. You hear several of the guards murmur, "It's them!" as the commanding officer, who Edgar deceived with his Cyrus costume, steps forward.
Ooh.
"Attention, terrorists! You stand accused of false impersonation of His Majesty, obstruction of justice, and incitement of the apocalypse. You are to come with us immediately."
No.
I feel like only one of those actually happened.
No one ever really gets in trouble for obstruction of justice.
Sorry.
Surrender yourselves now!
You ain't gonna take us alive, that's what I said. I told you once, I won't tell you no more.
You ain't gonna take us alive, soldier boy, and you don't wanna start a war.
Surrender now or you won't survive. We want to take you all alive, but I'm here to tell you your life or crime means you'll be doing time.
The end for you is near, so let me be clear. You're gonna hang my tears.
Everyone cover your ears.
Okay.
Okay, we do so.
Jocasta grabs her little bear ears.
I'm sorry about this, everyone. And Edgar turns the thunder lute all the way up. You see that it's like 1 through 10, and then it just has like this mystical looking T on the dial there. And he says, "Do you boys like rock and roll?"
And they just stare at you with their bows trained still.
I'll take that as a yes. And I'd like to thunder loop them.
Give me a roll for you.
17.
So, as Edgar plays this chord, yellow light pours forth, and you see about half of the soldiers just evaporate into nothingness and crumble into burnt skeletons.
What
the
fuck?
The other remaining soldiers proceed to fire their arrows, and a sea of arrows rains down upon you. Pugface.
Yeah?
5 arrows come your way, and one of them hits you. Take 5 damage and give me a constitution saving throw.
18.
You feel like a little woozy, but you're still standing.
Oh my god, what have we done? This could be the end. Think I'm gonna cry until I'm done. Will I ever get home again? Oh no.
Jocasta, 2 arrows are gonna sink into you as well. Take 10 damage and give me 2 constitution saving throws.
Okay, the first one is a 19. The second one is a 4.
You feel a little dizzy after the first one, and upon the second hit, you fall unconscious.
Is anyone else here feeling sleepy?
Edgar. Oh my god. 3 of the arrows hit Edgar.
Shit.
Take 15 damage and give me 3 constitution saving throws.
7.
Edgar, upon the first arrow that hits you, you fall immediately unconscious.
I'm sorry, everybody.
And 2 arrows hit Herman the Monk.
Oh no.
Miraculously rolls 2 nat 20 and stays standing, and he goes, Roscoe's turn.
Okay, the first thing I'd like to do, he starts getting crazy. Start banging my chest.
What you gonna do when I come for you? You might take down my friends and pug and I ain't through. You pissed me off, so what I'm gonna do is turn you black and blue!
I'd like to see you try.
Well, then come here, my guy.
I'm gonna make you cry.
You all are gonna die!
What are you gonna do now? And I'm gonna run straight at all 50 of them.
Pugface, what do you do?
I have my short bow. There's so many of them, I'm just fucking shooting.
Great.
Okay, 14 and a 18.
You fire two arrows. They sink into two of the soldiers.
Yeah.
They drop dead off their steeds. Another sea of arrows rains down upon you.
Oh.
Pugface, two of the arrows are going to hit you again. Take another 10 damage and give me an additional 2
Damn.
Constitution saving throws.
I got a 3 and a 7
Yeah, when the first arrow hits you, you too fall unconscious.
No!
And Roscoe, three of them are going to hit you. You can deflect one, but take an additional 10 damage and roll me 2 more constitution saving throws.
15.
Roscoe, you fall unconscious.
In Tutoroso.
You all black out.
You fools, you couldn't be deterred. Wouldn't take me at my word. But your impudence will be cured, and justice will be served.
When you awake, you discover that you are in a dungeon. It's a large cement room with a large metal door. You're laying across two long benches. There is a bucket in the corner, and it reeks of urine. There are no windows. But sitting in the middle of the room, you see a balding man in a gray robe. He appears to be deep in thought. Sitting on a perch next to him is a K-Ren.
Is Herman okay?
Yeah, Herman is laying among you guys.
Thank God.
Oh, do we have to talk to this guy?
As soon as you speak, Roscoe, you startle the Grey Road man who says, Oh, good, you're awake. Come on, we've got a lot of planning to do, and we're burning daylight. Not that you could tell in here.
And you are?
Oh, I'm Simon Crabb. I'll be your defense attorney in the trial today.
What? Of what?
So let's get a few things straight. Did you do it?
Did we do what?
Well, all the things you stand accused of.
What are we stand accused of?
The charges are impersonation of the king.
That one definitely happened.
Okay. Let's see, obstruction of justice.
No.
I don't even know what that means.
That you lied to officers of the law.
We did that a little bit.
And now I don't quite understand incitement of the apocalypse.
No, that wasn't us.
We are not responsible for that.
Yeah,
no.
Okay. We might have something here. A new charge that was just added to the mix last night is murder of several Kingsguard.
That might be true.
What's your definition of murder?
Does it count as self-defense?
I'd like to go with an accident defense there.
A misfire.
A complete misfire.
That's great. My friends, we might actually have a case here. I almost forgot. We've got this bird here. We've got this K-Ren, in case any of you can think of a character witness.
Well, we have Herman.
Yes. He also stands accused, so he is...
Can't.
I feel like anybody who would corroborate what we've said is a deity of some kind.
It does not have to be anyone who can corroborate your story, merely someone who can speak favorably on the parts of all five of you.
General Olvar.
Do you think he'd come?
Oh, or the sheriff. The sheriff really likes us.
Too. Sheriff is good. Get some law enforcement on us.
Oh, good. That's good. Hey, you there, bird. The K-Ren finally chimes in and says, my God. It's Kathy. The name is Kathy, and also it reeks in here.
Oh my gosh! You're the one that I sent to go talk to my mama.
Mm-hmm. She has a message for you.
Oh, what is it?
Your mom said, do what you need to protect us, sweetheart. I believe in you.
Oh.
So much for that. So, I'm sending a message to summon Sheriff Gutendale in Redfear then?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you do it now?
Say it, don't spray it. And Kathy flies over and pecks at the door. A small panel opens, allowing her to fly through. Crab, the attorney, turns to you and says, now then, at this moment, the door flies open and an imposing guard beckons you to follow.
Come, the trial of the Boarstead Five is about to begin.
And that's where we will end our episode.
What a fucking ride.
I feel like we are being given all sorts of horrible names.
My God.
I'm just like, I disagree.
Tune in 3 weeks on Monday, September 13th for episode 4, The Trial of the Boarstead Five. And don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. Mythic Thunderloot was conceived by Jake Blauk, Michael Daugherty, and Steve Gudelunis. Jake Blauk serves as our guitarist and the voice of Edgar Hawk. Lillian Castillo is the voice of Jocasta Stormwood. I'm Michael Daugherty, the editor and head writer, a.k.a. The Game Maker. Steve Gudelunis is our drummer and the voice of Roscoe Chubb. Leah Cato is the voice of Pugface Doodleop. Dan Kazim does our underscoring, arranging, mixing, mastering, synth, and keyboard. Alex Kuiper is our co-producer and chief story editor. She did the sound effects for this episode. Peace Has Been Restored was written and performed by Michael Daugherty, Dan Kazemi, and Matthew Mastronardi, with additional vocals by Alex Kuiper. Wozodendra was written by Jake Blauk and Michael Daugherty, and Ain't Gonna Take Us Alive was written by Jake Blauk. An omission from last week, the harmonica and folk of rock was performed by the great Charlie Del Marcel. The drums were recorded, mixed, and tracked by Tyler Blanchard at Good Cat Productions. Our production manager is Molly Foy, social media assistance from Sarah Royds, marketing consultation from Judd Mellinger Blauk, imaging by Lee Cortopassi and Daniel Kantz, and web design by Campbell O'Hare. A shout out to our first six Patreon supporters, Meg McCormick, Joshua Grubb, Greg Nix, Mike Hahn, F. Mark Salo, and Steven. Join us on Patreon to get an early glimpse of our next episode, or find us on Bandcamp. We'll catch you next time on Mythic Thunderloot.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.